And then in February, we took the church there, came alongside them there at Faith Baptist in Raymore, and excited about what the Lord's doing. And although we do live in troubled days, it's exciting that the Lord has never changed. He's still the same. And we are claiming the promises in His Word and looking forward to that. I guess now, amongst the group here, I'd probably be best known as Brother Ferguson's pastor. So you pray for me, all right? And we've enjoyed having them there at the church. They moved up to be closer to their sons, and they've been a blessing to our church. And it's pretty neat. He and my dad were at Bob Jones together, and the Sunday they came to visit. I think my dad and mom were there, and just the connections. And the more you travel and get around to see other people, you find out the world gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And it's a blessing. Many places we'd go, just there was a bond in Christ. And that was wonderful. Well, you've seen some of our kids. Someone asked how many we had, and I tell people that that I have 7 kids, and my wife has 8, and that's because I'm the big kid. And we have 7. We just a year ago had twin boys, and so some of you saw them around last night, but they're in the nursery right now, and we travel together, and so we were on the road with 9 of us, or 7 of us for years, and then 2 more came along, and now we travel together in different places that we go, and have been able to travel and sing a few places. And it's exciting, the questions you get asked when you have 7 kids, and we've got answers for all of them. I mean, folks will ask us if they're all ours, and I'll say, well, no, just the good-looking ones, so that's the one we use. And some people ask if we're a blended family. And other people will say to my wife, wow, your hands must be full. And my wife will say, full of blessings. So we are so thankful, because folks look at it as a burden, and we think it's a blessing from the Lord. And we are excited and praying that God will call my boys to preach and my girls on the mission field. And if He chooses not to, that's fine, but that's what we're praying, that God will do that. So we are excited about that and appreciate the hospitality of everyone here. And it's been a blessing. And we're going to look into God's Word right now. I'll tell you where to turn in a moment. But before we do, have you ever had one of those days where it just seemed if it could go wrong, it did go wrong? With 7 kids, it seems like it's every day like that. But you just have one of those days. I mean, maybe for you as a preacher, it's Mondays. And it's just after the day, something could have been said or something could have happened. And if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. Reminds me of a story I remember my dad reading. Perhaps you've heard it. But a man was writing in response to a request for some additional information about an accident that he had. And he put poor planning as the cause of his accident. And he said that in your letter that he should explain more fully, and I trust the following details will be sufficient. He said this: I'm a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a 10-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carry them down by hand, I decided to lower them to the ground in a barrel by using a pulley, which fortunately was attached to the side of the building at the 10th floor. Securing the rope at ground level, I went to the roof, loaded the 500 pounds of bricks, then went back down to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure the slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in block 11 of the accident report form that I weigh 135 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rather rapid rate up the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 5th floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and broken collarbone. I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. Unfortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground, and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 30 pounds. I refer you again to my weight in block number 11 of the accident report form. As you might imagine, I began a rather rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the 5th floor, I met the barrel coming up again. This accounts for the 2 fractured ankles and lacerations to both my legs and lower body. The second encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell into the pile of bricks, and fortunately only 3 vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks, in pain and unable to stand, and watching the empty barrel 10 stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind, and I let go of the rope. You know, there's a guy, and if it could go bad, if it could go wrong, it did go wrong. And the reason I read that story is because we face trials in life. And they can be emotional, they can be physical, they can be spiritual battles. And no matter what our need is, the truth is that Christ cares. But our natural response is to question that. And the reason I know that is because of a story that we're going to look at. And I would appreciate if you take your Bibles, go to Mark chapter number 4 this morning. Mark chapter number 4. Because the natural assumption that we make is that Jesus must not really care. I mean, if he knew what I was going through, if he knew the struggles that I had, if he knew where my finances were, if he knew the troubled days we live in, if he knew the choices that we had in our country, then, well, does he really care? And so Mark chapter 4, familiar story, and I love going to these passages that we know well, and it's God's word is quick and it's powerful, and you read them and it just seems like every time, whether devotionally or through a message, it just seems like another truth is pulled out. And so Mark chapter number 4, be a familiar story to you, but I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse number 35. The Bible says this, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. There were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him," notice their question, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" You know, it's interesting, as Brother Post shared with me the theme of the conference, Trusting God in Evil Days. And I look at where our country is, and I look at maybe things that are happening, things that are taking place in our personal lives in many ways. It is easy to make the natural assumption and ask this question, does Jesus really care? And maybe you have not verbalized that. Maybe you have not said that after a tough day that you had, or when things that could go wrong did go wrong. And you never verbalized that, but I would have to say this, if we're honest, we've all wondered that. Lord, do you understand where we are? Do you understand that we're trying to serve you? Do you understand how tired we are? Do you understand how difficult it is financially? Do you understand the emotional need? Lord, do you really care? And here the disciples are, the ones who have followed Christ. They're walking with him. They've believed what he said. They believed his message. And they ask him the question, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And so the question I want to challenge you with out of Mark chapter number 4 this morning is this, does Jesus care about the troubled days that we live in? Father, I pray that you would help us. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. And Father, as we just take time to think about your names and who you are the I Am. You are everything that we need. And Lord, I pray that you would challenge us in these troubled days that we live in the locations where you've called each of us to serve, in the days where we are discouraged and we just feel like giving up because we wonder if you really care. Oh, I pray that we'd be challenged this morning that you do care. You are one who cares deeply about the needs that we face. You love us. You sure love these disciples. You wanted what was best for them, even though they couldn't see it through the storm. And sometimes it's through the storms that we have a difficult time seeing that. It's easy for us to grumble. It's easy for us to complain about the days that we live in. But all that we recognize, how much you care for us. And how much we can claim those promises as we sang this morning. They're sweet promises of your word. I pray that we claim those, hold on to those. Help us to learn some valuable truths from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see a few things about this passage here. We're going to pull some truths out. And it says, "In the same day, when the even was come, he saith them unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." The first thing I want you to notice about this passage is this. I want you to see the holiness and the humanity of Christ. The holiness and humanity. And sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our minds around those two things. Obviously, we know he's God. He's in control. And we know that when he came to this earth, he took upon him the form of a servant. And he was a man. But in this passage, these two collide. I mean, here he is, God Almighty, the God who never slumbers and never sleeps, and he's asleep on the boat. And I want you to see his holiness and humanity. And a few ways we see this, it says in verse 35, in the same day. What you do is you take the Gospels and you can compare what's happened this day, perhaps one of the busiest days recorded in the life of the Lord Jesus. If you look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, I mean, you'll find he began this day by casting a demon out of a man. He has endured one of his conflicts with the Pharisees. He's taken time to teach the kingdom parables of Matthew chapter number 13. He tried to go to a house and get some rest for a while, but ended up teaching there a while. And finally, he's able to get into a boat and get some rest. And there he is. The Bible says, when the even was come, he saith unto them, his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. But I want you to notice something. In his holiness, in being God, although he's man here, there's something he is never too tired to do. Now, have you ever had those days where you're tired? I mean, you're just exhausted. You have just spent, I know on a Sunday, especially for you preachers, you're done with Sunday and you come home and it's you sit down, maybe it's your lazy boy, your favorite place, and you just veg. I mean, it's like, okay, what? I don't want to do anything. I don't want to think about anything. You're tired. You're spent. Do you know, can I remind you, the Lord understands that. He knows those things that you feel, and he cares about those things. I've told our people at Faith Baptist Church, you know, I've been in the workforce. I know what it's like. You come on a Sunday, you've worked all week, and you're tired. Do you know the Lord understands that? You got people that maybe work the night shift, and they show up on a Sunday morning to your service, and they're just trying to stay awake. Aren't you thankful we have a God who cares about those things? And he just knows that. Well, here he is, and he's tired. He is taught. He has endured the conflicts that these Pharisees are constantly. I mean, he's ministered. He's given of himself. He comes to the end of his day, and he gets on the boat with his disciples. He says, let's pass over to the other side, and he falls asleep. But I'm thankful for this, that Jesus Christ is never too busy to do some things. Number one, I see this, he's never too busy to save. Now, he's going to physically save the disciples here. They are fearful. I mean, like they've never been before. But aren't you thankful we have a God who's never busy to save a sinner? I mean, what if the Lord took vacation? I mean, what if somebody came to you and they wanted to trust Christ? Sorry, you can't do it right now. I mean, he's on vacation right now. No, at any time. He said, if you come to me, I won't cast you out. I'll forgive you. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Can you imagine if Jesus Christ was too busy to save? Folks, we'd be in trouble. Because there's no one else that can do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. But he's not too busy to save. I want you to see also, he's not too busy to shelter. He wants to protect these disciples. John chapter 6 records a story when Jesus shows up walking on the water. And the disciples are fearful, you know, of the storm. And there, they see him, and he says, be not afraid, it is I. You know, as you read that story, it never says that he calmed the storm. But he did say this, don't be afraid. We're going to face storms, but he's always there to shelter us. And there's promises in God's word that we can lay hold of there. He shelters us. And so what does he do? He gets on the boat, and immediately he goes back to the hinder part of the boat, and he falls asleep. Why? Because he needed physical rest. Can I remind you, you need physical rest? Sometimes we go and 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 we're busy. Jesus Christ showed that he needed physical rest, and so do you. He shows that in creation. God, what did he do? He created the world, then he rested. There's a reason for that. Why do we sleep? Have you ever thought about that? Why do we sleep? Do you know sleep is, it renews our flesh, but sleep is not merely just to renew our flesh. You know what sleep is? It is a practice of our faith. How do I know that? Well, there's big companies that make big money because of that. We security companies. When you go to sleep, guess what? You have no clue what's happening. How many of you are sound sleepers? I mean, you just, maybe you have a spouse that's like that. Just a sound sleeper. Somebody could come in, any of you feel the earthquake a while back? Did anybody feel that? Well, we felt it all the way up in Kansas City. And immediately, I'd been in California during some, and I said, that was an earthquake. And we looked around, and we talked to people. They didn't feel it. They didn't know what had happened. I mean, just sound asleep. So sleep is to practice faith. How is Jesus doing that? Well, here he is. He gets on the boat and he says this, I know what's going to be waiting on the other side. What's going to be waiting for him? People. Problems. And he needs rest. So he lays down and he goes to sleep. And really, I believe he's saying this, Father, I'm going to let you worry about whatever happens. I'm going to let you worry about it. Now the disciples, I wonder what the response would have been if they would have done the same thing. Hey, let's just all get some rest. But there they go. I don't know. Maybe they were enjoying some fishing. Maybe they were talking. But there they go. They're going to make it to the other side. They've got people that are waiting for them. But Jesus is never too busy to save. He's never too busy to shelter. I want you to see another thing, and that's this. In the story, we see here that Jesus is never too busy to satisfy. He's exactly what we need. And then I see this. He always supplies. What was the disciples' greatest need? You ever thought about that in this storm? Their greatest need was not to be delivered from the storm. That's what they thought. Do you know what their greatest need was? The greatest need that they would learn to trust the Savior. That's our greatest need, that we would learn to trust God through the storm, that we would learn to trust whatever He asks for us. So in this passage, we see the holiness and the humanity of Christ. He is all God, and here He is in the form of a man. He's going through the things that we go through. He is tired, and He needs rest. But then we get to this phrase here, and I want you to see not only the holiness and humanity of Christ's person, but I want you to notice the weakness of Christ's people. This is where you could say the rubber meets the road, folks. This is where we are. Because notice what happens. The Bible says in verse 37, "And there arose a great storm of wind." Never does it say it's a rainstorm. It's a windstorm. Matthew uses the word tempest. It's a seismos earthquake. It's a earthquake on the water. I mean, it's a windstorm. Here it goes. I mean, they're just the water, I'm sure the waves there are just up. The wind is blowing. And if you've ever been on the water during the storm, that's not the place you want to be. And so there they are. Now remember who these guys are. They've grown up on the water. They know what it's like. They're fishermen. Storms don't scare them, okay? They've been through these before. This is like no other storm. There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And notice, he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. It's not bothering the Lord Jesus. He's asleep. Now, when I read these stories, I always try to think, what would I have done? Now, notice the next phrase, "and they awake him." Now, think, would you have wanted to do that? You've just spent the day with him. You've seen what he's done. You know how tired he is, and they awake him. I just picture they're trying everything they can to bail the water out. They're doing as much as possible to take care of this themselves. They come to the place where they realize, we can't do it. Oh, that we'd come to that place. We can't do it. But we try, and they did. And finally they say, all right, it's useless. We're not going to do anything. Somebody wake him up. I just imagine him saying, I ain't doing that. No, you go ahead. You wake him up. And they go back and forth. I don't know who woke him up. But somebody wakes him up. And don't think for a minute, okay? Don't think for a minute. They walk over and they're like, hey, psst. Hey, Jesus. Did you notice there's a storm here? No. These guys are scared out of their mind. I mean, they're like shaking. Hey, wake up! I mean, come on! Do you know what's happening here? And they awake him. But I want you to notice the next phrase. Are you ready? And here's what they say. Master, carest thou not that we perish? I want you to see, number one, their thoughtless assumption. Perhaps the most thoughtless statement ever made to the Lord Jesus. Here we go. Jesus, don't you care? Why is that a thoughtless statement? Well, think about what Jesus did. He left heaven, came to this earth, took upon him the form of a man, was suffered, was beaten, and crucified so that he could forgive you and I of our sins, and to look at him and say, don't you care? Folks, that's pretty thoughtless, but we do it often. Lord, don't you understand what I'm going through? Don't you know where I am? Don't you see the problems that I face? Their thoughtless assumption, Jesus had been concerned about healing the sick and raising the dead and feeding the hungry. As a matter of fact, Luke 19:10 says his purpose was to seek and to save the lost. And here the disciples look at him and say, don't you care? That's a thoughtless assumption. And I want to remind you, no matter what you're going through, no matter how troubled the days are, no matter how bad it looks, Jesus does care. Don't ever forget that. He does care. Their thoughtless assumption. But I want you to see this, their faithless anxiety. Don't we hear a lot about that? Anxiety. Folks suffer with anxiety. Why did they suffer with anxiety? Well, notice what they say here. The Bible says they awake him and say to him, Master, carest thou not? Don't you care that, here's the phrase, we perish. You know what they all thought? They thought they were going to die. They really thought they were going to die. And their anxiety has worked them up so much, they think they're going to lose their life. But you know what it tells me about the disciples? Here it is. They were not good listeners. They weren't. And the way we know that is look at verse number 35. The same day, the Bible says, when the even was come, he saith unto them. Now, who's the he there? Jesus. Jesus is saying, if you got a red letter edition of the Bible, the next words are in red. Notice what he says. You ready? Let us pass over unto the other side. Now, listen, if you get on a boat with me and I say we're going to pass on to the other side, that might not happen, okay? And someone else, it might not happen. But if Jesus says you're going to get to the other side, you're going to get to the other side. It will happen. But they have already forgotten that. Why? Because of the storm around them. They got their eyes off the Lord. They got their eyes onto their problems and onto the troubled times that they were in. And they forgot what Jesus had already said. Folks, can I remember this? Could you remember this? Don't forget in the storm what Jesus has taught you already in the calm. If you have not settled the fact that God's good when you go through the storms, you're going to question that. If you've not settled the fact that God will supply when things get tight, you're going to wonder, oh boy, where's it coming from? But if Jesus has taught you those things and you have settled that fact that he's good, he's in control, he knows what's best, and you're going to trust him when you go through those storms, I'll tell you this, it's much easier. And here they are, they're not good listeners, their anxiety has the best of them. And folks, we live in troubled days. And there are folks, you have folks in your church, it could be that you have suffered anxiety yourself. We worry about all the things that we cannot do anything about. Not only did they panic, but I want you to see they procrastinated. Why did they wait so long? I mean, I don't know how long it was, but obviously they've tried to deal with this themselves, because then at the final point, they're going to wake him up and they're going to say, Master, we perish. I mean, they get to the point where they feel like they're about ready to die. Do we not do the same thing? We often procrastinate. We wait, and yet he wants us to come to him, and he wants us to share those needs and those burdens that we have. He wants us to seek him. So we see that these folks here were weak like we are. Their faithless anxiety. We see their thoughtless assumption. Jesus did care about them. I want you to see, thirdly, I want you to see the fullness of Christ's power. What does he do? Well, the Bible tells us they've got this storm going on, and the disciples go and they wake him up. And immediately, verse number 39, he arose. The Bible says he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And in this passage, we see that there did arise a great storm, but I want to remind you there arose a greater Savior. He's bigger than any problem that we face. He's bigger than the elections that we have going on right now. He's bigger than the problems that we have. And so often, I think we get this doom and gloom mentality. Does the Lord really know where we are? Oh, he knows. And not only does he know, but he cares. And we're going to see the fullness of Christ's power. The disciples are as well. And I want you to see, number one, his supreme authority. The Lord has legal authority over the governments of our earth. Aren't you thankful for that? Think about it. He has legal authority over the governments of this earth. The truth is, it doesn't matter who gets elected. He's in control. He is in control. Now, I believe we should do our part. We should vote. We should seek God's wisdom about what he has for us to do. But no matter what happens, he's in control. And he has used wicked men in the past to accomplish his purpose, and he can do the same thing now. So he has legal authority over the governments of this earth. He has the moral authority over the hearts of sinful man. But in this story, he has the natural authority over the laws of physics and the elements in the universe. You realize there are really no laws of physics. There are really only laws of the Lord. Here it is, this great storm. The Bible tells us in Psalm 107, 25, For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Nahum 1:3, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. You ever like to watch the weather? I mean, with the earth, hurricane, you know, you kind of see what's going on. It is amazing, the weathermen, they get paid to be right 50% of the time. Have you noticed that? What kind of job is that? I mean, you just guess. Like, today I think we could have some sunshine or we could have some rain. The truth is, I want to grab one of them and say, you have no clue. You don't know. Now, they can look at different things, but if God wants it to rain, it'll rain. If God wants it to be sunny, it's sunny. He is in control. And so here comes this storm. And remember, he's in control of this thing. He knows exactly what's going on here. They're worried about it. He's not. He's asleep because he is in control of the storm. He has the natural authority over the laws of physics. So his supreme authority. I want you to see his supernatural ability. What happens? The Bible says this, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, three words. He says, peace, be still. And notice, immediately there is an instant calm. Do you know what that tells me? When I read that passage, that tells me this. I can go through any storm, and we'll all have them, with the one who's in control of the storm. Doesn't matter what it is, I can go through that storm because I know he's in control. Someone said this, when we rest in the fullness of Christ's power, we can endure the fierceness of any problem. When we rest in the fullness of Christ's power, we can endure the fierceness of any problem. A preacher said this, when Christ puts us through the fire, he keeps his eye on the clock and his hand on the thermostat. He knows exactly how much we can take and how long we can take it. And the disciples are going to learn that the journey that they're facing may not always be smooth. He never promised it would always be a smooth journey, but he did tell us this, the destination is going to be splendid. So his supernatural ability. And he speaks, and there's an instant calm. I want you to see finally this morning what happens. I want you to see the disciples become aware of Christ's position. It's where we need to get to. They've seen the fullness of Christ's power, and now it makes them aware of Christ's position. What happens? Well, if you look, humility is what is produced in their hearts. It says this, and they feared exceedingly. You know what God wants us to do? He just wants us to be humbled in his presence. That he's in control. The awareness of Christ's position. They are more afraid after the storm than before the storm. And that's pretty amazing because we know how afraid they were. They think they are going to perish in the storm. And it says in verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. Why? Because now they have seen Christ's power, perhaps like they've never seen it before. Oh, they've seen him do some amazing things, but as they look and he stands out there, this storm that they are so afraid of, their anxiety is higher than it's ever been, they're fearful they're going to die, he steps out and in total calm, he says, peace be still. And, I mean, they look around and the sea has never looked like this before. It's like glass. And they look at each other and the Bible says they feared exceedingly, and I love this next phrase, they say this, what manner of man is this? Can I tell you who that is? He's the one that cares about your problems. He's the one that cares about what we're going through, what you're facing in the community that God's called you to. He's the one who cares about the family issues that you face. He's the one who cares. This is who it is. And they fear exceedingly. So what did they learn? I want you to see three truths. I believe they learned. And I believe it's what we can carry with us through troubled days that we live in. Number one, I want you to see this. They learned to rest in God's presence. Rest in God's presence. He did say this, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Can I remind you about that? I mean, maybe you feel like no one knows where I am. No one knows the problems that I have. No one understands what I'm going through. And there may be humans here on this earth that don't. But there's a God in heaven who does. And he said, I'm never going to leave you. I like Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What did the disciples need to do? They needed to rest in God's presence. Hey, I want to encourage us. That's what we need to do. We need to come to His Word in the troubled days that we live in and recognize this, Lord, You're in control and I'm trusting in You. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not looking for Washington to solve my problems. It's not going to happen. But I can rest in God's presence. And I can come to Him, and I can know Him, and I can seek every day to walk with Him and do what He wants me to do. And the disciples are going to learn this. We need to rest in God's presence. Number two, they're going to need to learn this. They need to rely on God's promises. He said, we're going over to the other side. And can I remind you that in God's Word, He's promised you many things. Do you claim them? Someone has gone through and recorded, kind of written down all the promises in the Bible. And they have come up with, they say, there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. Do you know why God gave you those? Not just so you could put them up on your walls, and they make great wall art. Not so that you could put a bookmark in your Bible. Do you know why He gave them to you? So that you could claim them. I appreciate what Brother Willis said. 2 Chronicles 7:14. I still believe that. I still believe God will keep His Word on that. We live in dark days, but if you study the history of revivals, you know when God sent revivals? In the darkest of days. And I perfectly believe it is in His character that before He returns, He could send one great revival. Just so that people would see His power, and well, we have to meet His conditions for it. I mean, there's promises in the Old Testament and the New Testament. As Brother Willis said that last night, I remember what Vance Havner said. He quoted Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And some lady came up to him afterwards and she said, now Brother Havner, you know you can't claim that promise. That's in the Old Testament. And he looked at her and said, I wish you hadn't told me that. I've been getting victory off that verse for years. And that's what I mean, we've got God's promises to claim. Could I challenge you? Don't just preach them, claim them. Rest on God's presence. Rely on God's promises. And number three, I want you to see this. The disciples learned that they need to remember God's character. God always does what He says. I want you to look at verse number 1 of Mark chapter 5. You ready? And they came over unto the other side of the sea. It's just like He puts that in there, you know? Hey, I told you a little while ago that you were going to get to the other side. And almost like nonchalant, and they came over unto the other side. Now, was it the journey that the disciples had imagined? No. But did they make it to their destination? They sure did. And when He says it, He'll do it. Remember God's character. We have politicians with no character. We've got people in our world today with no character. We serve a God who's a God of character. He does what He says. I like what it says in Jeremiah 32:17. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Oh, but you don't understand where I am financially. There's nothing too hard for Him. You don't understand the burden and the battle that I'm facing in the church where I'm at. I know the God we serve, and I know He cares. And you got to rest in His presence. You got to rely on His promises. And you got to remember His character. He said in Philippians 4:6-7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Can we have peace in the day that we live in? Sure can. It's going to come right here. And the disciples are going to learn that. I'll tell you why this passage became so special and near and dear to me. And we've all faced different trials. But just a little over 3 years ago, my youngest sister, when she was 29 years old, found out she had cancer. And for 5 years, she battled that at the age of 34. We buried my sister. And I remember there were folks that as we went through that, and we were able to be out, and she and her husband lived in California. We were able to be out there with them for the last 2 weeks of her life. And our family has always been very close. And I remember them saying things like, wow, I mean, that's just tough, you know, burying your sister. And I would respond to them. I said, you know, it is. But I want you to know this, God is always good. Amen. You know how I could say that? I settled that fact a long time ago. I'm not always going to understand. It's not going to be what I have chose. But I know this, God's good and God's in control. And when you go through a storm, if you don't understand that, I mean, we look at where our country is right now and everything that's taking place, and I mean, even Christians are in an upheaval, like, oh no, what are we going to do? What do you mean, what are we going to do? We're going to obey what this book says. We're going to do what God's word says. We're going to trust His promises. And yet, when we don't, we get anxious and we worry and we wonder and then we start to question, like the disciples did, does Jesus care? In closing, I want you to grab your hymn books and I want you to go to hymn 491, because along with that passage of Scripture, this was an encouragement to me. And we sing hymns a lot, but we don't think about them. And 491, Frank Graff is the writer of this song, and I like studying hymn histories, and we still sing old-fashioned hymns at our church. I'm thankful for that. But Frank Graff, if you study, he was going through a very difficult time. As a matter of fact, it was a time of deep depression in his life. And he was really questioning this. Does Jesus care? When 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, notice the words he writes. And I want you to think, no, I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what battles you face. I don't know. You may be discouraged. You may be looking at the political thing and wondering, hey, listen, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Verse 3 was very special to me. Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? You ever had those questions? Notice the answer. After examining that, here's what Frank Graff says. I love it. Almost in a resounding, oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Man, you may have been serving someplace for years, and maybe you just feel like, wow, I mean, I just don't know. Can I remind you, he cares? Man, you may be going through a physical problem right now. You may have received bad news from the doctor. The finances may be insufficient. Does Jesus care about the troubled times that we live in? And in a resounding, oh yes, he cares. How do I know that? Because I believe what his word says. And here's what I'm going to do. Come November and after, I'm going to keep resting in his presence. I'm going to keep relying on his care, on his promises, and I'm going to keep remembering his character. And it doesn't matter who's the president. It doesn't matter what happens in the nations around us. He's God, and he's in control. And all he wants you to do, and he wants me to do, is trust him. Father, I pray that you would help us. It's easy to preach about what your word says, but I know that there are battles that we all face. We've gone through storms. I know there's preachers here that have gone through some battles, health battles, maybe some battles with their family, maybe some things in their church, and they just sometimes have wondered, Lord, do you care about me? Oh, Father, would you wrap your arms around them today and remind them of who you are, as you did with these disciples. Lord, thank you that you're never too busy to save. You're never too busy to shelter. You always satisfy, and you will always supply. No matter what needs they have, I pray they would recognize that. Lord, help us to not complain and worry about what's going on around us. Help us to trust and obey. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Could I just ask you this morning, how many would say, you know, I know that in God's word. But right now there's something I'm going through. And I sure needed to be reminded that Jesus cares about me. He loves me. He knows right where I am. And I need to lay hold on some of those promises. I need to remember his presence and his character and trust him and what he's taught me in the calm. so that I'm ready in the storm. Would you quietly just slip your hand up? That's me. I needed that this morning. Father, I pray that you would change us. We do live in troubled days, and we can trust you. I pray that we do it. And I'm asking that in Jesus' name. Amen.